Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. If you are looking for a seat, there's a whole row. I was standing there, and I know that repelled or made some of you a little anxious to come up, but you can join there in the front row also there. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and I'm so thankful that you are here with us this morning worshiping. And I know a few of you have been asked a couple times already this morning about my pajamas, and just so you know, this is what I sleep in. This is just, the Bible says be ready in season and out of season to preach the word, and so I just come ready. Wake up straight out of it. No, I'm kidding, of course. So glad, though, that you're here for this family gathering. And what I want to do to kick us off this morning, I know that there are some of you who aren't regularly with us in this room, not meaning just the guests that are here. So glad you that are guests are here with us this morning. But many of you spend your Sunday mornings primarily in our little space over here or with Miss Jessica in our kids' church room. And so if that is you, if you are a kid, I don't care how old you are. Carson, you can come up too. However old you are, I want to invite you guys to come down forward here and join me right here at the front, all right? If y'all, all the kids, come down front. Everybody grab a seat. Don't be shy. There we go. We got a bunch coming from this direction, so you guys sneak in here, get tight. Man, so glad to see you guys. Did everybody have a Merry Christmas? Yeah. I'm so glad that you did, and I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. Hey, I wanted to have you come down forward because I know you don't usually, not every week, do you come in this room to spend Sunday morning here. And so I just wanted to introduce myself to you, number one. My name's Pastor Ryan. If I haven't had a chance to meet you before, I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm so thankful that you get to spend time with Miss Shelley or Miss Jessica regularly on Sunday mornings. But it's really fun for me to have you guys here with us this morning. As I think about this, who was with us on Christmas Eve and got to come down forward? All right, God was with us. That's right, bro. But you were here physically, yeah, and you heard Miss Jessica read the Christmas story. Do you remember that? And she read that story, and what did she teach us that Christmas is all about? About Jesus. Yeah, this dude's going to come take my place in a minute, all right? And it's about Jesus. That's right. It's That's right. It's all about Jesus and his birth. Jesus, God coming to be with us. But let me explain to you, just in case you might not always understand this, but I want to help you understand this. The reason that we come together as a church every Sunday morning is because sometimes we forget that. When we get a little bit past Christmas, and even in a regular time of the year, we get away from Sunday morning. Sometimes by Monday or Tuesday, some hard things have happened in life, and we forget that Jesus is real. We forget that God is with us, don't we? And so we gather every week, and we come together to sing songs and to hear God's word taught so that we can remember. I can tell you, you know that last song that Miss Zane and Kara led us in called Amazing Grace? I've sang that song for as long as I can remember. My entire life, I've sang the words of those songs. And you know what? Sometimes, because I've sang the words of that song on Sunday mornings my whole life, sometimes when life gets hard, I have a bad day, I remember the truth of those words. That's why we sing, to remind us of truth. I remember God's word that's been taught to me from when I was a young kid, just like you. And that's why we're gathered here. So, hey, I've got a job for you guys to do this morning, all right? Can you help me out this morning? Your parents can't hear this conversation, by the way. This is kind of just between us right now, all right? So just kind of keep this between us. Well, maybe. Sometimes they don't pay attention, all right? So here's what I want you to do. This morning, I'm going to read a story and teach for just a few minutes from Luke chapter 4. And Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus starts his ministry. It's where he begins to go and talk about God's word and teach people about why he came, all right? And I'm going to share three things from this passage that we can learn from this passage. And I need you to help your parents remember these three things, okay? So you think you can do that? All right, so I'm going to teach them to you right now. And then when you hear me say them again in a little bit, you're going to have to pay attention. And when you hear me say them again in a few minutes, you're going to lean over to your mom and dad and say, hey, that's what he's talking about. Don't forget this, all right? So the first thing that I'm going to talk about from Luke chapter 4 is that Christmas is fulfilled. Can you say that with me? Christmas is fulfilled, all right? The second thing you're going to hear me talk about is the curse is reversed. Say that with me. The curse is reversed. All right, so don't forget, we got Christmas is fulfilled and the curse is reversed. And then the last thing, the third thing, and when you hear me say this, you'll know I'm almost done and you're about to go get pancakes, so you can get excited. All right, the third thing that you're going to hear me say is good news of great joy. Can you say that with me? Good news of great joy. All right, that's what we're going to talk about. All right, so remember, listen for me to say those three things. All right. And lean over and tell your parents, pay attention. You got to hear this part, okay? Now, to help you also, because I know listening to an old man talk for a little bit long time, it might get a little boring. I can understand that. So we're going to give you some, Miss Jessica and Miss Shelley are here. And there, as you go back to your seats and join your families, they've got some coloring pages and some colors that you can use. And you can draw a picture maybe of the story that I'm reading from, whatever you think of. Or you can fill in the coloring page. Or you can write those three words down or three statements down that I'm going to share this Sunday morning. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to pray first. You seem to know what's going on. How do we pray in kids' church? All right, let's do it. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather and to remember. So often we can forget why you came. We can forget the joy and the blessing and the hope of the gospel. So thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning and be reminded of what is true. Thank you for these little souls. I pray that the truths that we look at from your word this morning would sink deeply into their hearts, and their parents would continue to help them to grow up in the faith and grow up following you and understanding the great love that you have for them. Thank you so much for the love that you have for all of us. I pray if there's anyone in this room that is doubting or unsure of the love that you have for them, Father, would you make it so clear to them that it's unavoidable, undeniable as they leave this morning. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all grab a coloring page and some colors as you make your way back. Well, families, as your children make their way back to you, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 4. That is going to be the primary text this morning that we're going to look at just for a few minutes. And as you're doing that, for those of you that aren't sure and sort of have been tracking with us maybe through our Advent season, during the Advent season, looking forward to Jesus' coming, we've walked our way through a book. In the first part of the book, the cover says, Promises Made. It's a really cool thing that happens. When you flip the book over, it says, Promises Kept. All right, and so through the month of January, you can read this story along with us, Promises Kept. There's a story that sort of will correlate with each Sunday morning's message, and so this is a great resource. Some of you already grabbed it. If you're still looking for this, we do have a few copies available out in the cafe, and so I want to invite you. We need one more coloring sheet, Miss Jessica. And so Luke chapter 4, let me read this for you. I'm going to share this short message with you. Here's the amazing thing. The gospel message is a simple message, but in its simplicity, it does not lose how profound it is. It is a simple message, but it is a profound message. It's a message that changes our lives. It changes our lives completely. So I want to invite you, again, to read this with me. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and following. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and which was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. We're going to do something a little bit interesting here as we study this text. We're going to work our way from the end to the beginning of where I started. We're going to go backwards in our study. And what we see in the very first, or the very end, the closing of this reading, Jesus says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Kids, pay attention. Christmas is fulfilled. Christmas is fulfilled. When Jesus came, what we're hearing in this story from Luke chapter 4, Luke is recording for us the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He's been born. We have that in Luke chapter 2. He comes to earth. He comes to take on flesh, incarnate with us. And then he spends time with his family in his young age. We don't have a lot recorded about his life. But here in Luke chapter 4, Luke records for us the beginning of his earthly ministry. This sermon is Luke's first sermon that Jesus delivers. And he delivers a sermon as he takes the scroll and he opens up from the prophet Isaiah, specifically Isaiah chapter 61. You can go back and read Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 in your Bibles. And it's a quote that Jesus is reading from that scroll in the church where he would gather, as it said, regularly. And he says to the people, this scripture that has been written thousands of years ago, the prophecy has been fulfilled. Christmas has been fulfilled. One of the things that Jesus is saying as he reads from this and his announcement that he's making as he's preaching the word is that all of the prophecies, everything in your Bibles from the Old Testament that they had then for us to the New Testament today, all of it points to me. I am the purpose of it. I am the point of these scriptures. So often we read our Bibles, and perhaps as you begin, I hope in the new year, a new Bible reading plan, and you decide you're going to work your way through Scripture, spending daily time in the Word. And there's sometimes you're going to be reading and you're wondering, what is happening here? What's the point of all this? You can start with this truth, this right assumption. This is about Jesus in some way. In some way, it's pointing to Christ, the gospel, the hope. And this is what Jesus himself says of the scriptures. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. He had gone to the synagogue. He had spent time reading God's word, as we still do today, by the way. If you're ever wondering why, again, besides what I share with your children, if you could hear that, I don't know, that might have been a secret to conversation. But as we had that conversation, it's that we would remember these truths. And Christmas has been fulfilled for us as we hear the word of God. Well, how is that fulfilled, and what does that mean for us? Second thing we see in this text is the curse is reversed. The curse is reversed. Look at what he says in Isaiah, reading from Isaiah 61, recorded for us here in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus has come to do, to announce good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight being given to the blind, liberty to those who have been oppressed. This is the curse of sin that has fallen upon the world. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, mankind enters into sin, disobeys God's commands, his word to them, what he has commended them, how to live. And because of that, all of the world has fallen into this sinful brokenness, what we still experience today. The pain and the suffering and the hardships, the reality of living in this life, a broken world. These are real things. We don't need to deny. We don't have to act as if because we're Christians, no, there's no problems here. We're all good. No, the reality is that there is suffering. There are hardships. There is grief. There is loss. These are real, not just emotions, but real realities. And the realities that are a result of the curse of sin. But praise be to God. Jesus came and he says, I have come to reverse what the curse has done to creation. I have come to turn it aside and take it back to the way that it once was, what we will one day see fulfilled in Revelation chapter 21. Jesus is announcing here, I am beginning that work today. In another place in scripture, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus announces the kingdom of God is here. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God is here. Believe and repent. He announces these things when he begins his ministry. We have this message that Luke records for us. Mark records another message for us as he begins this earthly ministry. And he's announcing that all of the effects of sin have been reversed by me. This is the hope of Jesus. This is what Jesus has done. Poverty, slavery, blindness, whatever other physical sicknesses, oppression, all are signs of the fall. Fill in the blank, whatever you may have experienced in your life, past tense, whatever you may be experiencing even today, whatever those things are that are signs of the fall, Jesus came to reverse those things and put an end to those things. And he hasn't finally done that yet, but he's begun that work. As he's raised us to life and transformed us from darkness into light, this is what he has done. The curse is reversed, which is as he began in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. This is good news of great joy. That good news of great joy that the angel of the Lord announced to the shepherds in the beginning of the Christmas story there in Luke chapter 1, that good news, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And this is good news for us. See, friends, there's not one of us in this room, there's not one person who has ever lived who hasn't experienced the fall of sin and the problems. We, at one point or another in our lives, we're poor in spirit, meaning we had no spiritual ability to find life on our own. We were dead in our trespasses, the scripture says. This is who we are. We were enslaved to sin in one way or another. We might not have experienced all of that. If you came to faith at a young age, you put your trust in Jesus at a young age, praise be to God. You might not have experienced it, but the reality is no matter what age you are, before you put your faith in Christ, you were enslaved to sin. And if Jesus had not intervened in your life, you would have continued that march of sinfulness and rejection of God. But good news of great joy I have for you. Jesus came. And he came for you, and he's redeemed you if you've believed in Jesus. We were unable to see. We were blind to the ways of God. We were blind to the scriptures. We couldn't read the scriptures. We couldn't understand the scriptures unless God had moved. This was all of our reality. Jesus has come to set us free. Again, a simple message. Nothing hard. But in its simplicity, it does not lose the profound weight of what that means. Friends, there is nothing in your life, there is nothing in your past or nothing in your future that Christ does not have the power to redeem and transform. This is good news of great joy for you. Good news. This is what Jesus came to deliver us into. And this is why he closes reading this. He actually adds this line of text in verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, in the Old Testament, in the days of the Israelites, their culture, every 50 years, there was something known as the Year of Jubilee. And in the Year of Jubilee, everything was reset for the people of God. All of their debts were canceled. Everybody say amen. They were freed from their slavery. Anything that was against them, anything that they had done, any wrong decisions that they had made, every 50 years, God ordained that his people would completely reset the Year of Jubilee. And when Jesus comes and announces this freedom, this life, this healing of blindness, he comes and he says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Everything is reset. The curse is reversed. Christmas is fulfilled. This is good news of great joy. And we get to experience that today and every day of our lives. Don't move too quickly from Christmas and forget this message. I don't know about you guys, but we sadly had to start taking Christmas down, all the decorations, yesterday. Did anybody else experience that sad moment? A few of you did. Sometimes we start to grow in our distance from Christmas, and we sort of start to try to put Christmas away, not just the decorations, but in our heart, we grow distant from the fact that Jesus came, that Jesus is here. In the same way, over the Easter celebration, when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we get a few days from Easter and we begin to forget that Jesus is alive. We forget these things. We must remember every day of our lives. And we gather, as I told your children, every week on Sundays to remind ourselves of this truth, that we in Jesus have been given good news of great joy. Reason to celebrate. Reason to worship. Don't forget. In our house, every Christmas morning, we begin with some laughter and some conversation, and then before we do anything else, we read the Christmas story. We've done that with our family since our boys were little. I love that moment where we just remind ourselves of what is true. And after reading the Christmas story this year, I just asked our family a question. I haven't asked it before, but just felt like we should just sort of meditate on what we were reading and what Christ had done for us. And I said, I want you to take a few minutes and think about how is the gospel, how is Christ coming, good news for you today? Not just good news because you were saved at a point in time early in your life. Praise be to God, my children all follow Jesus. But today, not just your past tense salvation, today, how is the gospel good news? Friends, if you haven't considered that question over this Christmas season, I would invite you even today to have that conversation as a family. Meditate on that just within your own heart at some point today. How is the gospel, how is Jesus' coming good news for me in this moment? What I'm walking through today. And remember, that's the good news that Jesus came that first Christmas to announce to you so that you would have life today and experience the joy of Christmas, not just for a day, not just for a season, but all the days of your life. I'm going to close. I want to read a poem written by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's called The Song of Aragorn. And it's a poem that I love because it reminds me of this truth that we've just studied in Luke chapter 4. It reminds me of the truth that is eternal. All that is gold does not glitter. Not all of those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the good news that you came to announce to us. And I pray that we would not hear your word, see your word, and miss who you are, as the Pharisees so often did, knowing your word by heart, and yet when you met them face to face, they didn't recognize you. May we, by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, be a people who, as we study your word, as we see you in the scriptures, that our heart's affection and desire grows for you. Thank you for this good news of great joy that you have given to us. Thank you that the curse of sin on our lives has been reversed through your coming, through your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you that this morning, a few days past the day of celebrating your birth, we can say Christmas is fulfilled. All of the promises of God have been fulfilled in you, Jesus. May we never lose sight of those truths. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, taste and see
that the Lord is good. Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh, you say.